First off, I'd like to welcome all those who may be visiting in the area over the Labor Day weekend, especially those who are camping in the Chico area. I was thinking back to a time several years ago when I'd gone to celebrate Mass with the Boy Scouts, and one of the camp leaders took me off aside and says, "We have a little problem with the seminarian who's here as a chaplain." I said, "Okay, what's going on?" He said, "Well, when he leads the prayers for the scouts every night, he does this thing where he calls out like different sins and stuff and has people think about that." He said, "You call that, something of conscience." I said, "Oh, an examination of conscience?" "Yeah," he said, "that's it." I said, "Okay, what's the problem with that?" He says, "Well, everybody starts feeling guilty about everything that they've done." I said, "That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that." Yes. Now, it is a bad thing if we stop there and just feel guilty and hang our heads and do nothing about it. It gets worse, though, if we look at things that we've done and say, "Yeah, I know I did this and that, and those things were wrong, but I had a reason to do that," and try to justify all these things that we do. The way that an examination of conscience goes, of course, is to look back at one's day. We know right from wrong, to think about the wrong that we've done. Ask God's mercy, but it's not simply about feeling guilty. It drives me up the wall when I hear people complain about the Catholic faith and say, "It's all about guilt, all about guilt. It's Catholic guilt all the time." Well, yeah, that's how it starts. But guilt needs to go to sorrow. From guilt, you move to sorrow, realizing you've done something wrong and you're sorry for that, for offending God, for hurting your neighbor. That sorrow then moves to repentance. "I'm sorry for having done this or that. I need to change, become better at who I am, better at what I do." And why? Out of love. From guilt to sorrow, from sorrow to repentance, from repentance to love. The first three should be based on our fear of God, our fear of divine justice, our fear of eternal damnation, our fear, quite simply, of being lost. That should lead us to feel guilty and sorrowful and repentant. However, it ends with love, to where we can say with St. Anthony the Great, "I no longer fear God because I love him." That's the point we need to reach. I no longer fear God because I love him, and because I love him, I serve him wholeheartedly in everything. That's the Christian life. To live in love of God, which leads to love of neighbor. If we love God, we'll want to do everything to please him. Not that he doesn't love you already, he does, and me. But that love needs to be shown in what we do. This is something that finds roots even in the non-Christian ancient world. As a Greek philosopher once said, you probably heard this saying before, "The unexamined life is not worth living." The unexamined life is not worth living. In our own history, Benjamin Franklin, who was not exactly a devout Christian, but still a very good man in very many ways, said in his autobiography that he began every morning by asking himself this question: "What good shall I do this day? What good shall I do this day, and how shall I do it?" To put a Christian spin on that, we can say, "What good can I do today to glorify God and benefit my neighbor? And how, by the grace of God, shall I do it?" That's how we start a day. What good shall I do? How shall I do it for the glory of God, the good of my neighbor, and how, by God's grace, shall I do that? At the end of the day, doing likewise, as Franklin said, "What good have I done? What good have I failed to do? And what good have I not done well? What, O Lord, have I done that is good? Where have I failed and not done well? And how, again, by your grace, shall I make amends?" As Jesus teaches us, keeping watch over our thoughts, our actions, our desires, should have us asking why. Why do I think this way? Why do I think about these things? Why do I do this or that? Why do I want this or that? If, my brothers and sisters, the answer is not I do this because of Christ. I do this for Christ. I do this with Christ. If it's not done out of faith, hope, or love, it's pointless and useless. If our lives not live to the glory of God and the benefit of others, only doing things for ourselves alone, then it's all done in vain. Christ says something that would be a little bit disturbing in the gospel passage that we heard. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wait a minute. We've been taught since childhood that we're not supposed to hate anybody. Why is Jesus telling us to hate other people? He's not. Not in the way that we think it is. What he is saying is that human beings can get in the way of God. If we do things simply because we want to please human beings, if we do things simply because we want to get something else from human beings, then these things are useless. If, however, we love God first and love human beings in their proper context and do all things as Jesus teaches us for their own good, to do good in and of itself, those things become meritorious. Yes, we are to love our parents. Why? God gave us life through them. It is from our parents that we learn right from wrong, that we learn how to use good instead of evil, to become people that are worthy of the name human, to live a life of self-sacrifice, love, and even obedience to proper authority. And for that we love our parents, for they've shown us and done for us, and take care of them as they grow older. Yes, a husband should love his wife, and a wife her husband. Why? Because God calls you together to live a life of harmony and love. It's not always going to be fun, but you know that in a married life, you challenge one another, you support one another, you bring out the good in one another, and assist one another in your journey toward eternal life. You're there to help one another get to heaven by teaching each other to be selfless and to live for your spouse. Yes, parents should love their children, as children are indeed a gift from God. And they are there to be formed by you, to be taught by you, to follow your good example, to become good Christians by the way that you live your lives as a family. And yes, we are to love our brothers and sisters, our friends and our neighbors. Why? They're in our lives so that we belong to a human community, a community that is meant to be served by love, as we see in the life of God Himself, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even hating our own lives is the way that we want to have control over it and not letting God be God. If one cannot live that life of love, of self-sacrifice, that person cannot be a disciple. As the Lord says, whoever will not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's easy to love God. It's not always so easy to love other people. And that's true of all of us. Every one of us can get on somebody else's nerves. All of us can become needy. All of us can become burdensome. All of us can do all kinds of different things. But Christ says, disregard that and look at my image in every person and love them for that. To carry your own cross and, like Simon, to help carry the crosses of others as well. Again, it's a journey that we make as one body in Christ toward eternity. If you do not renounce yourself, your desires, your own will, your own way, all possessions, as Jesus says, all that possesses you, don't call yourself my disciple. What happens is, when we call ourselves Christian and live in a non-Christ-like way, we make fools of ourselves. And none of us likes embarrassment. Nobody enjoys that. It's happened to all of us at some point where we end up shamefaced, and it's never a good feeling. And the gospel warns us about being so blinded by our own pride and our own ambition that we do make fools of ourselves in the end. And so for that not to happen, our lives must be subject to examination, an examination of conscience. Why? Why do I do whatever it is that I do? What's it for? Who is it for? Again, if the answer is not Christ, if the answer is not faith or hope or love, then as the psalm tells us, in vain does the builder labor. If we, however, abandon self-love, if we abandon self-will, if we abandon self-worship, which is rampant in modern times, and we instead turn our gaze on Christ, turn our gaze to the one who alone can satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart, then we shall come to know prosperity. It is then that we shall come to know peace.